Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and today we shall continue with our study of the Gospel of John. We're going to be in the 11th chapter at this time, beginning with verse 40. Before I read this beautiful text to you, referring to the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, I want to have prayer. Our Father, we pray now that you will give us divine illumination for thy sacred word, in Jesus' name, amen. So here's our text for today. Jesus says unto her, that's unto Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus says unto them, Loose him and let him go. What we have here in this story is the greatest physical miracle that Jesus did while he was on earth. The raising of a man from the dead, a man who had been in a state of decomposition for 4 days, embalmed, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and a napkin about his head. To boot, this miracle was done in public to a man well known in the community. This miracle was also the final miracle of Jesus prior to his crucifixion, according to John's Gospel. It was the miracle that rapidly set the stage for the crucifixion of our Lord. But rather than going into the crucifixion of our Lord, this soon, let us consider this miracle of Lazarus first. What it tells us, what it teaches us, and how it was done. The first thing that had to happen for the miracle to take place is for the stone to be removed. It says in verse 41, Then took they away the stone where the dead was lain. There often is a stone between us and the miracle. And so we can pray and pray and pray, and we can even cry out loud in our prayers. We can become real fervent in our prayers. We can add fasting to our prayers. And we can carry on praying about certain conditions for weeks and months and years. But many times, the miracle will not happen simply because there is a stone in our heart that first has to be removed. There's a common saying that prayer solves everything. Well, let's not forget that prayer solves everything provided there are no stones in our hearts, and provided that our prayers are for the glory of God and not selfish. So until the stone was removed from the front of this tomb, the miracle of the resurrection could not take place. Jesus was waiting for the stone to be removed. Could it be, my friend, that there is within you a stone of criticism, and that is why your prayers have not been heard? Or could it be a stone of resentment towards somebody who has hurt you badly years ago? Or could it be that there is a stone of selfishness somewhere hidden in the depth of your heart? Or the stone of impatience, or the stone of personal plans that are not approved of God at all, or the stone of stinginess. Listen, my friends, if you do not tithe your income and give an offering on top of that, because the Bible talks about tithes and offerings, how do you expect God to answer your prayers? You have a stone of stinginess and of disobedience in your heart if you do not obey the word of the Lord. Or there could be a stone of pride in someone else's heart, or the stone of jealousy, or the stone of bitterness. There are the stones of ungodly relationships. Do you, my friend, begin to see why so many prayers are not answered? In this case, what prevented the miracle to happen was a stone of unbelief. So read in verse 41, "Then took they away the stone." Let me ask you, who took away the stone? Did Jesus do it, or did they do it? Jesus, my friend, would raise the dead body back to life, but they had to take away the stone. So which is easier, to take away a stone or to raise a dead body back to life again? Well, methinks we're quick to say it's easier to move a stone out of our hearts than to raise the dead. But I was thinking about it some more in my prayers and meditations, and I concluded it's the other way. When you look at the history of Israel, of God's people, as it is portrayed in the Old Testament, you see that God had a relatively easy time to do His miracles. Why not? Because He's omnipotent, His power is unlimited. The problem was not for Him to do His miracles, but the problem for Him was that despite all His urgings and pleadings, He could hardly ever find any people who were willing to move the stones out of their hearts, the stones of unbelief, resentment, criticism, worldliness, prayerlessness, idolatry, and adultery. Dear one, the record is clear. Out of all the adult people of Israel that left the land of Egypt, only two made it to the promised land because all the rest of them had stones in their hearts, and they refused to remove them. And then after that, the younger ones who made it to Israel and their descendants, only a few stayed faithful to the Lord, and God had to send His nation, His people, with whom He had made a covenant, to a foreign country called Babylon to keep them as prisoners there for 70 years. You can hear the cry of God from the Scriptures. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear Me and keep all My commandments always. It seems that very, very few people have ever been willing to remove the stones out of their hearts, because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It is hard, it is obstinate, it is proud. Coming back again to a previous message I preached to you, how many people were there in the days of Jesus who, like Peter, fell down at Jesus' knees confessing his sins? Well, hardly any. So do you have any stones in your life? Remove those stones. Confess your sins. Repent of your sins. And then Jesus will do the miracle of a resurrection. A resurrection unto new life. A life of the Spirit. He will set you free. Now, the second point I'd like to make today is that after the stones have been removed, then that is when prayer becomes effective. That is when prayer will work, provided, of course, it is for the glory of God. Now, there are many ways to pray, and there are right ways to pray, and there are wrong ways to pray. In verse 41, after the stone was removed, it says, "Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me." A better translation from the Greek text, from the oldest Greek manuscripts, is, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou heardest Me." And the Amplified Bible puts it beautifully by saying, "I thank Thee, Father, that You have heard Me." So in other words, the prayer for the resurrection of Lazarus had already been said, even before the stone was rolled away, but it could not be answered till the stone was rolled away. My friend, you may have prayed for something for days and weeks and months and years and prayed, you've done your praying. You've done your praying. You've done plenty of praying. You may have done more praying than necessary. You might have overprayed for something. And if you keep praying, it won't do any more good at all. You have already done enough praying for a certain situation. What is needed is for the stones to be removed. And when that is done, when these stones are removed, the prayers you've uttered beforehand will be answered immediately. What is also important about praying when we come to God is that we come without any prejudice, without any personal agenda, that we come truly seeking God's will and God's glory, that we do not come to God trying to nudge Him into thinking the way we think, into acting the way we want Him to act. Such prayers will not honor God and will also not be answered. Let me give you a practical illustration of this. This illustration comes out of 33 years of pastoring. Here comes a phone call into my home, and there's a man, let's call him Alex. And Alex says, "Pastor Schulze, I'm sorry, I cannot be in church today. I cannot teach my Sunday school class today because I believe God is telling me to stay home because my father is coming to see me, and I have not seen him for 3 months. So I want to be home with him. I believe the Lord would have me to stay home." Now let me ask you the question. In this particular case, who is telling whom what to do? Is God telling Alex to stay home, or is Alex telling Alex to stay home, and is Alex just using the name of God in order to strengthen his credibility? I think we realize that Alex is trying to do the thinking for God, and Alex is trying to do the choosing for God. Alex is actually trying to put words into God's mouth. And of course, also by using the name of God for his excuse, he can hold off the preacher a lot better. When Alex got to his little prayer room, my friend, he came in with a strong prejudice and preference to stay home and not to teach Sunday school. Any pastor gets hundreds of calls like this over the course of his ministry. They all start by saying, "I believe the Lord would have me because reason 1, 2, 3, and 4. Dear one, let us not come to God with prejudiced ideas or with personal preferences. Let us not try to instruct the Lord as to how He should choose for us. Let us come to God rather with an open heart, and you will be surprised what God can or will do. He may just reward you with a wonderful time with your father after church is over, the best time you ever had. Or you can just bring your father along because that's where he needs to be as much as you in the house of the Lord." So, if we want to have our prayers answered, we must be sure that the stones are out of our hearts. We must have the spirit and attitude of the Lord Jesus, who always did the will of His Father, who had no prejudice, no personal preference, who did nothing without the Father. For He said, "I can do of mine own self do nothing." This is the kind of prayer, my friend, that will raise the dead, that will heal the sick, that will comfort the hurt, the brokenhearted, and that will get us out of all kinds of trials and tribulations. Well, thank you for listening to this radio broadcast. Please tune in again next week to the Call to Obedience radio ministry, when we will continue with the book of John. To receive my monthly messages in print, contact us at Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, that's K-O-K-O-M-O, Kokomo, Indiana, 46903. Once again, write to us for the printed messages, Call to Obedience, Radio Ministry, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, Indiana, 46903. This is Pastor Schulze, and goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.